One has a pee-pee and one doesn't. Yeah.
Don't they put them in, like, blue and pink just so you fucking know? Like, I don't know. Maybe not.
Okay, so it doesn't fucking matter. Like, it happened, okay? Like, they got switched. I don't know how, okay? You guys are coming at me like I fucking know. I don't fucking know.
You have to know everything.
Yeah.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Anime Summit Podcast. It's your favorite host for the most, Sam the Bomb, again. And of course with me is Danny.
Dancing isn't manly.
And Nick.
Anime in the morning, anime in the evening, anime at supper time.
When anime's on a bagel.
I forgot the rest of the jingle.
Can they have anime anytime?
Oh, yeah.
Something like that. Oh, yeah.
That was anytime, a good one. And twice as much if it's two times speed.
That's a good one. Yeah, twice, yeah. Nick was
What about four times speed, Nick?
Sometimes, when I'm in a hurry.
Nick was about to do Nick is doing Kaioken, Ultra Instinct, times two.
Kaioken times ten!
Yeah. Shit's funny.
Dude, Kaioken was almost cooler than Super Saiyan.
In Super, he does Super Saiyan Blue plus Kaioken, and it, like, almost breaks his body like 15 times. And then when he does Ultra Instinct, it breaks his body. Spoilers. But yeah, dude. There's like another Super Saiyan level above that that happens later.
There always is some. Yeah, there always is.
There always will be. But like Goku doesn't do it. Somebody else does it. And I won't say who. But anyway, let's fucking do it, dude. Anime Summit Season Review Part 2 of First Impressions for the spring season of 2022. Last week we covered a batch of shows, and we're covering the other batch of shows this week. It's like 20 some shows that we watched, just to see what spring has to offer. And you know, I don't know, man. I have Hunter Hunter to watch and stuff, and I wanted to.
Yeah, same.
I wanted to see if I could take it. Yeah. Me and Danny, because me and Danny gotta watch it so we can review it for y'all. And
maybe I should watch the old version while you guys watch the new one.
Yeah, not. And I'm saying that like we have to, but like, I mean, we want to because we were already watching it anyway. But like, yeah.
But not only that, I promised JD I would watch it over at the Anime Brothers because I told him I would watch Hunter x Hunter if he would watch Fruits Basket.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, dude. I don't know. We'll
fair
see.
Fair is fair.
But
fair
like,
is fair.
But now I'm thinking, Nick, like, man, there's more.
Rebuilt.
There's more spring shows I want to watch now after this batch. So it's like, I don't know. But yeah, dude, let's just do it. Links.animesummit.net. You can find all the links right there. Where to join the Discord and where to follow, where to listen. There's the Spotify link, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts link, YouTube. So,
give us a review. Give us a like on Spotify.
Leave a YouTube comment if you want.
Yee.
A lot of the YouTube comments is always like,
oh God, they're still uploading.
it's like, oh, love you guys or whatever. And then on the one episode that Nick finally came back on, you know, after having the computer problems a couple weeks ago, somebody was like, oh yeah, Nick is back. Let's go. But yeah, dude, like, oh yeah, well, we should read those more often for sure. But yeah, dude, spring, 2022 listener question of the week.
Wait, hold on. I just want to point out that we did some Mario Kart on Saturday and I totally totally beat Nick, and I have proof.
Danny cheated.
I saved it. I did not cheat. I did not cheat.
Sam taught Danny like the Sith the Sith duo that you are.
I did.
And
not
I'm the
cheat.
Jedi.
I did not cheat.
You know why? It's because I didn't have the Bowser cup cart yet. I didn't have my cup cart.
I got you fair and square.
Just wait till I get the all gold Mario set, Danny.
Yeah, whatever.
I'll drive right off the fucking bridge.
Whatever. Come play Mario Kart with us.
Yeah, we might have a couple more people this week.
Yeah.
We've been playing games on Discord and stuff. So, yeah, dude.
Especially if Sam shows up.
Yeah, sometimes I haven't been showing up lately because I'm busy, okay? I'm doing shit, all right? Jeez.
And she's sicky.
Yeah, plus I was sick, so I'm.
Yeah,
still,
we don't want to catch a cold.
I feel
you know?
Better. I feel better a little better this week, obviously, than I did last week. But yeah, dude. Listener question of the week. What do we got?
All right, let me pause my episode here. Okay, I'm watching a show that I forgot to watch as we're recording, like a true podcaster. Okay, the listener question is from King of Telluride, and is who would you use in a Pokemon battle? You have to pick six. Have we done this one already?
No.
Maybe we did like favorite Pokemon, but we didn't pick six of them.
Yeah. This might be a long answer, so I'll try and I'm just going to say it. I'm not going to say why. I'm just going to say the Pokemon, but it's pretty straight up. So I would have Ursaring, Pancham, or the evolved version of Pancham, Beware, Beartick, and
all the bears.
And
yeah, that's good.
And,
to say.
And then all the bears.
And then Urshifu, and then Incineroar, which is one cat, one kitty. Yeah, that's what I would.
All right, you got it. What about Danny?
Vaporeon, Golduck.
Oh, you're gonna be a Misty. You're gonna be the water trainer.
No. We're gonna do Miss Magnus, and Chandelure. And
oh my god.
Vaporeon, right? That's five, or that was five, right?
I think so.
Alakazam. There we go. Six.
Dang it! There's no. Is there a bucket Pokemon?
Oh my god.
It's weird because Pokemon
there's
are
ice
becoming
cream Pokemon. I'm
yeah, Pokemon are becoming so weird now that like legit there might be a bucket Pokemon. So I had to stop
okay,
and think for a
my
second.
My first one is Vanillite, or Vanillish, whatever one is the best one. And then everything else from Pokemon Unite. No,
you
no second
have,
one. Second
you
one
can
is
have.
What?
Sorry, Nick. You can have Ditto. Ditto can turn into a bucket.
That's true. All right, and he can copy what you're doing and just troll. So, okay, we got Vanillish, we got Ditto, we got Shuckle, we got Gengar. Is that four? We got Machamp. And then, let's see, I'm scrolling up the Pokemon Unite list here. I just got, because I don't know enough Pokemon. Oh, God. Oh, Serena. There we go. Let's go. Zarina. I got the ice cream Pokemon. I win.
The ice cream Pokemon.
Yeah, Nick would have the ice cream Pokemon.
They got to put that into Pokemon Unite. That'd be fucking hilarious.
They got to put more Pokemon in Pokemon Unite.
They're adding like one a month. It's like, I get it.
Not only that, but Pokemon Unite is, it needs some.
Needs a lot of work.
It needs some nerf on some of the Pokemon. Like, geez. Because I played, and I even played ranked, and I normally don't play ranked on certain
you might as
like
well
online battle
rank.
kind of games, and like I was fucking neutralizing people on it. I was just like, this is not, I mean, this is fun, but this is
well,
impossible.
It's,
like why
it's baby's
why,
first it's baby's first MOBA. It's like League of Legends times like 0.5.
Yeah,
it's like a Diet Coke. Dota.
Yeah it needs to get majorly nerfed.
Yeah. Well, you know. No, that yeah. I know a lot about it. I don't want to get into a Pokemon Unite talk.
Yeah.
You Danny and Kai can do another podcast on that some other time. anyway, Danny, what about Waifu and his bando?
Waifu is Decimi Magahara from Love After World Domination. And husbando is Lou Mori from Dance Dance Danseur. Oh yeah,
I didn't even watch. No, I didn't watch the dancing one. I watched the other one. What was the other one again? Okay, I'm reading it.
Yeah, you have eyes.
Oh yeah, the girl, the chick from Love
yeah,
After.
The main
yeah,
girl.
Yeah. That's the Togusatsu
Princess
actors
Reaper.
Or whatever. Do they actually have superpowers in that show, or are they just acting for like the amusement park?
No, they're actually, it's an actual Sentai team and an actual evil
organization.
Okay,
so it's like Tiger and Bunny then, kind of. Okay, got it.
No, it's like Power Rangers, like an actual Sentai show.
Yeah, which is like Tiger and Bunny.
No, that's not at all like Tiger. No.
Uh-huh.
Tiger and Bunny is like Avengers.
Tiger and Bunny are like superheroes, like yeah, Avengers. Right.
So are the fucking Power Rangers, dude. What are you talking about?
They are, but those are, that's like a tokusatsu Sentai category. That's not.
Yeah, close enough. All right, whatever.
It's different. I don't know how to I know. Tell you. It's different.
Agree to disagree.
Oh, I hate that phrase. I hate it.
Oh, well.
Why don't you just tell me I'm disagree. Wrong? Call me an asshole.
You're wrong. You're an asshole.
All right.
Yeah, well, whatever. It doesn't matter. Okay, so let's just fucking do it. Spring, first impressions. Nick always kind of like is able to curate like a list for us, you know? But... I fucked up this time. most of the time when Nick does the curating, you know, the list, he kind of at the same time just goes, but also just like watch what you fucking, you know, watch what you want to watch here, you know, just in case. And I mostly followed that curated list and then watched one other thing. Danny kind of watched more other stuff that I didn't think about watching. So we're just going to kind of go down the malice like we always do. And just kind of say, like, hey, did you watch this one? Did you watch this one? And then, you know, just do it up. Again, not next week, but in a couple weeks, maybe we will talk about sequels that we're following up on and watching. And
in 2 weeks.
Okay, yeah, in 2 weeks. So, yeah, so, like, season two, Komi-san, Kaguya-san, season Kaguya-sama, which is, like, season three, I think. And then
Tiger and Bunny.
Shield Hero, Tiger and Bunny.
Shield Hero.
Data Life 4. So,
Yeah.
Anyway, so let's start. Shikamori is not just a cutie. Wait a second, I didn't watch this one, did I?
No, because I told you I fucked up. I posted the picture of what I was watching.
Oh crap! Okay.
I forgot to include that one.
Yeah. Okay.
But I watched it at 2x speed just now. So.
But Danny watched it, right?
Yeah. I did watch it.
Okay. Well, I also said, like, this is what I'm doing. You guys can look at the list. So maybe you should have still looked at it. But
yeah. Okay.
All right, Danny, this is you. You got to carry us on your back. Like Greg Jennings.
This is Studio Dogakobo, based on a manga. And I don't know who directed it. Sorry, not sorry.
Some young guy. Just kidding. That's not even Japanese.
Ryota Ito is director. There's two directors. Elevator pitch. Shikamori seems like the perfect girlfriend. Cute, fun to be around. Sweet when she wants to be, but she has a cool dark side that comes out under the right circumstances, and her boyfriend Izumi loves to be around when that happens.
That sounds kinky.
So pretty much Shikimori, you know, on the outs, on her exterior, when she's like by herself, she's this beautiful pink-haired, blue-eyed girl, and everyone thinks she's a model and everything like that. And her boyfriend, Izumi, he has, like, this ungodly, like, bad luck. Like, he is the most unluckiest guy ever. The minute he walks out of his door in the first episode, he trips on a rock and everything. You know, and
all of his luck went to getting that girlfriend.
Yeah, pretty much. When it comes from like newspapers flying in front of his face, you know,
a random store sign about to final destination his neck.
Yeah, random store sign literally falls, and Shikimori like kicks it away to protect Izumi. So you know, I mean, this show is really not like anything extravagant or anything like that. It's pretty much just a slice of life, school setting kind of thing. Not a lot happens.
Yeah,
but
it has a 7.0 on Mal.
Yeah, I mean, it's still entertaining. Like, I love it. I love the relationship between Izumi and Shikimori. You know, it's definitely a romance. So, and right off the bat, like, the very first episode, like, it is clarified that these two are dating. So, it's not, like, a lead-up story.
The lowest of bars. They cleared it.
Yeah, I mean, it's all like, oh, they're dating? Cool. Okay. And then, like, their friends are hilarious. By the way, freaking Izumi's dad, he looks so old. When I first saw him, I thought he was his grandpa. And then when Izumi saw dad, I'm like, whoa, wait, he's his dad? Are you kidding me right now?
Who is the dad in the CG show with the aliens and the robots?
Where
the bad guy was like, bang, bang, bang. I can't remember the name of the show, but anyway. Inuyashiki. He looked like that, kind of. Or no, the dad looked like one of the bad guys from Black Lagoon. He looked like the flamethrower guy. That's a random comparison. Anyway. This is the boy is the princess and the girl is the knight. That's what the show is.
Yeah, literally it's knight in shining armor status.
But it's reversed. And that's hot.
I'm trying to find...
On my anime list, recommendations...
I also made a point, like, I just want to say this one thing, and then we'll move on. But I did point out on our Discord about Izumi's dad, and Zayla said, when you have a dad that looks old enough to be your hot mom's dad.
God.
So this show is actually going to be delayed as well.
Oh, jeez. Okay. It did have pretty good animation, actually, just the first couple episodes.
Mm-hmm, yeah. First couple episodes, especially when they did, like, their little sports event thing.
Even at 2x speed, it looked pretty good.
Well, that's saying something then. Good. I did read that the show is going to be delayed. So this coming week, there isn't going to be an episode. The following episode will come at the end of this month, so the 28th, because the show usually airs on a Saturday, so it'll be airing. It'll continue to air the following Saturday. So.
Yeah, and it looks like if you like this show, you'll also like Witchcraft Works, which I have not seen that one yet, but I've heard of it.
That's on, isn't that this season too?
No, Witchcraft Works is from 2014.
Oh, okay, never mind.
And Momo Curry is another recommendation. And also, it's kind of like the Darling, not Darling in the Franks.
My dress-up darling. I mean...
It's a tiny bit like that. Where the girl's like
my
dress
up darling is a little bit more entertaining versus this. So
this one, that one's better than this one, but
I would say it's a little bit of a mixture with Hiramori because it's more of
slice
of life kind of thing.
Horimiya,
yeah. It's definitely like literally nothing really extravagant happens. So, yeah. I mean, aside from, like, when Izumi boosts Shikimori's confidence and her cool side comes out, like, when they went to go bowling and at
the
volleyball.
Yeah, she bowls, like, a perfect game or something. Yeah, like, almost a perfect game, like.
also, at the volleyball, tournament thing that was happening at their school, she won that. So, anytime, really, when Izumi says, like, you can do this, Shikimori, her cool side just...
Yeah, she blushes.
...snaps in and like, she's like, well, now I can't lose.
Because the boy is the girl and the girl is the boy.
Yeah.
And that's why she's best girl. Because she's like a boy. All right. Moving on.
All right. Ahedan-san wa Hakeranai. Ahedan-san is indecipherable.
This is like Komi-san a little bit.
It's kind of like that. It's kind of funny. This is Studio Felix film.
Ooh, High Score Girl is another one, too.
which they haven't done too much. But they are working on MF Ghost, which I'm excited about, which is an Initial D anime, or like a...
Oh, shit.
They're not in, it's not like in the same world or whatever. It's a totally new story, but it's like a new racing by the same writer. Anyway, it's beside the point. Ahead-on-san, dude, beginning his first year of school, Matsuboshi Raido wants to make friends, starting with the cute, tiny, and soft-spoken Reina Ahaden, who sits right next to him in class. Unbeknownst to Raido, Reina shares the same sentiment, but she has a problem. Awkward and timid, Reina is incapable of determining how chummy she has to be when approaching a person. Due to her complete inability to gauge personal space, the two struggle to spark their unlikely friendship, as even the simplest tasks, like talking, seem impossible for them. This is really fucking funny.
It actually is pretty funny.
Yeah, she doesn't have a problem talking or anything like that. It's just she does talk really quiet and is really shy and timid.
She's the low talker, like from Seinfeld.
But when it comes to like personal space, she gets like super close and is like
she's a low talker and a close talker.
Doing one nice thing towards her, she's like, oh my god, okay, so we're friends, right? So like, you know, and it's really funny because, and another reason it makes it really funny is because Raido is actually this really tall guy, you know, and she's...
Size difference.
Yeah, she's also just really short. She's like a super short.
There was another show from a couple seasons ago like that. It was like a working show. Really tall guy, really short girl.
Oh, yeah. My Senpai is Annoying. Yeah, yep. I like that show. Yeah, that show is funny. Yeah.
It's a little bit different than this one, but...
Yeah.
My Senpai is Annoying is better than this.
My love story.
I think My Senpai is Annoying is a little funnier than this, a little better.
Yeah, this one is just like another school comedy, like Shikamori.
Yeah.
Where it's like everything's in the school, and like there's only, it's just like it has a very low ceiling, but it's still pretty decent though.
Yeah.
This is not. I mean, so I'm dropping this. Like I'm saying it right now. I'm not.
It has a
going
dub.
To finish this. Regardless, I'm not going to finish it. The main girl and main guy both have deadpan face, and that's too much deadpan for me.
Yeah. Oh, you're the opposite of me, Danny. You hate the deadpan. So, I was born in the deadpan, molded by it.
I'm okay with the deadpan, but it needs to at least be one, not two. Two is too many. So, I don't know. The comedy in it is just a little niche for me. Like, I'm like, haha, okay, moving on. And then, like, I don't know. It's just not my cup of tea.
Damn, okay.
Yeah, it's very light, I guess.
Yeah,
I like some of the comedy in it. There's a part where his fly is down. And she's trying to cover
it the
whole day.
Oh, that one was funny. Yeah,
he has to like pose, and she's holding like an apple in front of him and stuff. Yeah. And yeah, that was a funny gag.
It kind of reminds me of also Tanaka-kun is Always Listless.
Yeah, a little bit of that.
Except that one actually had like a more believable kind of thing. Like Tanaka-kun was just literally like he just wanted to sleep all the time.
Yeah, that one had like the one joke that they somehow made work for like a whole show.
Yeah. This one, the animation's pretty nice, and I think the character design is pretty nice. I think
the characters look pretty good.
A lot of the comedy is just like misunderstanding, kind of comedy, you know, because of Ahead-on-san.
Yeah.
If you like that kind of comedy, then it's funny, and the way they execute it is pretty funny. But like, a lot of people would probably watch this and be like, oh, this is just like Komi-san, whatever. You know, so it's just like...
In some ways, it's better than Komi-san. I mean...
What? No way.
In some ways.
No way.
Like when his fly was down.
Hard disagree.
The little girl is not... She's not a wife, but you know.
No way. I was talking to Wormy about this on Sunday.
I'm
and
just trying to trigger people.
And they said... Wormy said that he would much rather watch Komi-san than this.
I think a lot of people would. Just look at the scoreboard on my anime list. Actually, you know what? It's pretty close to Komi-san Season 2. It's only 60K lower. 50K lower. No, 60. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know. I like it. I think it's really cute. I don't know if I'll keep watching it. I don't know if like it. I don't know if it's enough for me to be like, oh man, okay, I want to, you know. I'm pretty sure it's gonna be one of those things where like
it's each a snack episode, anime. It's a snack. Yeah,
it's gonna be one of those things where they kind of introduce a new character each episode, and then you kind of whatever, you know. And I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see where it goes. I hope it doesn't like peter out, because like the first few episodes were actually pretty decent, but
right.
With comedy shows, it's hit or miss sometimes.
Right. So. We will see. I do think, I thought it was really funny when, like, they were trying to figure out a way to communicate with each other. And...
Oh, this is labeled as an Iyashike.
Like, I feel
like hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was like, okay, well, what if we make contact, like, you know, like, we do physical touch in a way where it's like, you know, whatever. So she's, like, headbutting him, and she's just, like, kind of flying at him. And it's kind of, that was kind of funny. It was kind of stupid. But, yeah, I don't know. I would say give the first couple episodes a watch. I have the same sentiment as Nick. I'm afraid it'll peter out. It might, you know, who knows how long you can carry that, you know, joke or that kind of whatever, but we'll see. But yeah. Nick, did you have another thought, Nick? Or I'm sorry, I kind of cut you off.
No, Sam. I'm Operation Unthink at all times.
Okay.
By the way, sidebar, everybody watch Killing Bites, because that's where that comes from. I literally think of the phrase Operation Unthink. I think of that like every other day.
That's really funny. Summertime Render.
Oh, here we go.
Summertime Rendering.
This is the thriller of the season.
I didn't watch this.
Oh, you would like this.
I know I would like it, but it's not on Disney Plus, because Disney has the rights to it. And
oh, are they doing all in one?
This is, well, no. So I've read a little bit into this, and it's only available on Disney Plus in Japan.
How I watched it, by the way.
There hasn't been, like, a international release yet. So,
hopefully they don't do the Netflix mistake and just like hold it in jail until the whole thing is done.
Because
this is the kind of show. This is the kind of show that would really benefit from like a weekly release, because it's a thriller.
Yeah.
So people want to speculate on it.
I just feel like when companies like Disney and Netflix, in particular, when they get rights to anime, they have it in their minds that people are going to just want to watch the English version of it only, so
yeah.
They try to like cast all these people in order to do that, and then just throw it at you. So, but I don't really want to get into that.
They could at least drop it in like chunks, you know, kind of like Arcane dropped in like 3-episode chunks. Maybe they could do that. Anyway, I flew to Japan and I watched it there, and I gave the director a shoulder massage and gave him a tip. Okay, that's how I watch the show. There, now I'm moral. but yeah, Sam, you watched it, right?
Yeah, I did. And it's really funny, because like the vibes I was getting the most from the show. First of all, this is Studio LLM. It's 25 eps. They're gonna be 25 eps, and like Danny said, it'll be like a Disney Plus thing, which is crazy to me, because. Given the context.
This is not a very Disney show.
it's crazy.
It's like Higurashi, pretty much.
HBO Max and all these other streaming sites, you know, they're trying to all grab anime now, so
I feel like this would be a good on HBO Max over Disney.
I definitely would agree, yeah. But,
but it's a cartoon, and cartoons are for kids, Danny. So let's go watch Uretsuka Doji.
But
that was actually a thing back then. They put that shit in Blockbuster, and they're like, well, it's a cartoon. It must be fine.
It's anime, yeah. Just put the VHS right next to Dragon Ball Z. It'll
what, you
fine.
Never seen an exploding human before? What are you, shy?
But yeah, basically, this guy returns to his hometown for the funeral of one of his best friends, and some fucking weird shit is going on, man.
Okay, basically, without spoilers, the show is like Higurashi mixed with ReZero. If you know, then you know, kind of. That's kind of a mini spoiler saying that, but, you know.
They explain it in the first episode, but basically there's these things called shadows, which is a copy of yourself, and they're coming to kill you, the real self, and then copy everyone else to replace you or something.
Don't trust anyone, not even yourself.
Yeah, and it's and so the main character, he dies, and he's able to, like, he wakes up right before he, like, arrives in town. And so, like, there's that. That's what Nick meant by ReZero, because, like, return by death or whatever. But, like, that's the mystery part that we're trying to unravel right now. So he's kind of, like, uncovering more things as he goes along, because he can kind of call what happens next. But things start changing when he starts doing things different. So obviously it's not going to be the same every time. So it's like, what do you fucking do? So now it's just kind of a mystery of, like, okay, well, what the fuck? Obviously, this is clearly some fucking crazy shit happening. What the fuck is happening? Who's who and why are there copies? And if anyone has seen, like, the movie Us by Jordan Peele, it's kind of, like, gives, like, those vibes as well.
Oh, dude, I love Jordan Peele, man. I haven't even seen his movies. I just love the skits they do.
Us is so actually good. Really cool. People didn't like it because they thought it wasn't as good as Get Out.
I heard that was one of the best that came out that year.
Get Out was really good, yeah. And Us kind of, I think because people wanted to find some kind of underlying message in Us, like the apparent ones in Get Out. But anyway, it doesn't matter. If you like those movies, I think this is like kind of the mystery and paranormal parts of it are similar to those.
Yeah, and it looks really good too. The big thing is like the production is really great on the show. It's by OLM. And yeah, the animation is on point, like all the time. Like they got the hair details everywhere. They got like all the lighting effects. They have really good sound design. You know, it's just like really good package. That's what she said.
Yeah, the sound design is really good. The animation is really decent. I think Studio OLM is doing a really good job. I don't know the staff on it. I haven't seen the staff list yet, but like I do like the. The way
Ayumu Watanabe is a director, and Hiroshi Seko is the script.
They build like the look of the town really nice, so you kind of start getting an idea where everything is as things kind of go on, which is really nice. I really like that. And I really like the storyboarding, and the character acting is really good because it kind of emulates some shots from like those nighttime, you know, creepy town horrors very nicely. So yeah,
how does this the director is also directing Komi-san the same season? How do
they're
you do that?
It's chief director. I know. I think
that must be a different
thing.
You mentioned
this earlier. I think last week you mentioned it, that
they're both OLM stepping, I guess. Yeah, the same studio.
They're stepping aside.
This guy is like the main director for OLM, it looks like. He's done a bunch of stuff. He did Major, Komi-san. He did Space Brothers. This guy's a good director. Sheesh.
Yeah. I like it, so I'm going to keep watching it. I think Danny would like it. You know, when it comes to D+, if you want to wait for that, you know, definitely do that. I think it's really interesting. It's kind of a nice, fresh show in my mind.
What if he came back one time and all the people had mustaches? What do you think of that?
That would scare the shit out of me.
Like the girls, like she turns around all dramatic and she has like a huge fucking bushy mustache. Okay.
Right.
That didn't happen, but it'd be funny if it did.
Right. But yeah.
This is like, out of the ones we watched of this batch, I think this is the best quality. Just overall.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Very nice production. Yeah, I like it. Very nice. Okay. Next, next what I have anyway.
Squid Games.
Squid Games, dude.
Acquaintances game. It's a friend's game. Tomodachi game. This is one of those kind of guilty pleasure shows that's like, it's like Squid Game minus. It's not as good, but it's all right. It's like
it's
high schoolers.
Interesting enough to be engaged.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not the best. I mean, if you want kind of like a gambling stakes type of show, I would say watch Kaiji, Darwin's Game, Death Parade, and like Kakaguri even as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently it's like Danganronpa, which I have not seen.
Danganronpa.
Dang it, Grandpa.
Dang it, Grandpa.
Anyways.
It's hosted by a mascot.
Forgot to mention that Summertime Render is based on a manga by Yasunori Tanaka. Anyway, Tomodachi Game is based on a manga by, it's in Besatsu Shonen Magazine, by Mikoto Yamaguchi and Yuki Sato, who does the art. Basically, high school student Kitagiri cherishes his close friends, his four friends, so it's like a group of five of them. And they are gathering money for an upcoming school field trip, and the money gets stolen. Yuichi gets deceived into meeting up at night with his friends, and they all get knocked out, tased and knocked out, and they get put in a white room by Manabu-kun, who is like, it's like a mascot, someone in a mascot suit or something, and Manabu-kun is like a children's television character. And he reveals that he's gathered the five of them there to clear a personal debt of 20 million yen. For those of you who don't know what 20 million yen
is. Like 20K or something?
Yeah, it's probably a little
less
than that.
Well, it's changed now. Yeah, because the conversion is different now.
It's like 150K, most like in U.S. dollars, yeah.
154K.
To pay off the amount, they must participate in a variety of psychological games that will test the true nature of their friendship and humanity. So, when Nick said Squid Game earlier, that's a very fair comparison, except they're not going to die, but, like, it's the debt.
You don't know that yet. Maybe they will.
It's the debt that's the problem, and debt can kill people. So, but, like, it's more so, it's kind of less about the game and more so, like, the shit between the five of them, because it's very obvious that, like, one of them stole the money in the beginning. And then secrets start coming out about, like, all five of them. And it's, like, they keep trying to prove that their friendship is more important than all that stuff. But more and more things keep coming up. And they're, like, okay, well, what the fuck, right? And so that's kind of the fucked up part about it, or, like, the engaging part about it, to me anyway. But, like, it is kind of formulaic in, like, the quote-unquote, like, death game trope, or, you know what I mean? Squid Game mm-hmm. trope, death game trope. Mm-hmm. But yeah. What do you guys think?
The top Mal review is, the first sentence is just, this show is like Squid Game or Kaiji, but it's dog shit. That's all. No. I think it was entertaining. Like, what does Danny think? I'm going to collect my thoughts for a second.
I mean, I think it's interesting, and I think I'm gonna continue watching it because, you know, when you first meet the five friends, you know, they seem like all happy-go-lucky, they're super close and everything, and then when they start doing this game, you know, you're trying to figure out, like, where they are as well, so, and then, like, there's these two girls who are like in this separate room, and they're like spying on them and like observing them while they're playing the first game, and like they kind of like have like strategies and everything, because they kind of notice that Yuichi notice that there's something going, like the games are rigged. So
yeah, and they had like weird, they're like, what's 1 + 1, and then like they would answer it right, but then it was wrong somehow.
Yeah, yeah. Weird. Especially like in the first game, it was like Kakori-san, and it's like a yes or no game, and you're not allowed to speak freely. The only time you're allowed to speak is when you are given a question to ask, and people are supposed to do like a yes or no kind of thing. So, but yeah. I mean, like I said, I kind of like it. it's edgy enough for me to be engaged in what's happening, especially like with the friction that is going on with the five of them, especially I think it was in episode 2 when they go up on the route, like when they move on to the second game, and it's like they're supposed to say like negative things about each other and stuff, and some like dirty laundry kind of got exposed on certain people and stuff. So and you also find out like who threw out that dirty laundry in a way, and that kind of was like, ooh, now I want to know what really happens.
It's just like high school drama.
Yeah,
some of it is like way overblown too. It's like, this person likes that person. Oh no!
Yeah.
It's like, oh god.
I actually do like it also because it gives me Pretty Little Liars vibes because of that aspect.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it turns out that she like did this when she was 15 or some shit. I don't know. You know what I mean?
But yeah, the only thing is like the characters are kind of one dimensional a little bit. They're not as well rounded as Squid Game or Kaiji or anything.
Yeah.
So that's like the biggest problem. Like if you're in a like a not a death game but like this kind of game, you want to care about the characters. So that's the biggest flaw.
Well,
right now, honestly, I think the only character that I actually like is Yuichi, because he's figuring out that the games are rigged, and he's trying to prevent them from cheating, like on whoever is cheating and stuff. So I kind of like him. The other characters, I'm just like, I don't really give a shit about any of you guys.
Yeah.
So.
And that's like a big weakness if you really think about it.
So that's the next thing I was going to say was these kids are all just that, right? They're just fucking dumb kids who think they know it all, right? And they're about to grow up real quick, right? Because look, me and Nick have been friends for a long time because I got lucky to have him. Like,
yeah,
still
you did.
Like this, like the fact that we're still friends is like amazing, right? Because a lot of them I don't fucking care about, right? So like, you know, like your group gets smaller, okay? And these kids are gonna fucking learn real quick that like friendship isn't everything at some point, like, you know, especially when you're so dishonest with each other, like you can't be friends with people like that. Like, okay, so here's the thing. Here's why I like it. I'll tell you why I like it. Okay.
That's true. If your friend is a liar, like, how do you be friends with anybody who's, like, a straight-up liar?
Like, if they're not being honest with you, right?
That's just, like, fucked up.
Yeah. And I got some, like, IRL stuff coming through when I said that, so I'm sorry. But, like, here's the thing. Here's why I like it, right? These kids are all kind of, like, assholes, and I want them to get so fucked up in this game, and that's what keeps me watching it. The other part that keeps me watching it is, like, what Danny said, the main guy, Yuichi. He notices right away, because we didn't say this part, right? And I'll tell you this right now. The debt is split between the five of them, and the debt they each owe that is split is on the back of their name tags on a little digitizer. And you cannot show that to the other teammates. You can say it, but you can't show it. If you show it, you'll get debt added on.
Oh, yeah. It's like bluffs and stuff. Yeah.
And so the first game they're playing is a yes or no game, and they all have to agree on the answer. One of the questions was, this is just an example. One of the questions was, does 1 + 1 = 2? And if one person disagrees, the game will favor the minority and move the thing, the coin, on its own to the wrong answer. If only one person.
It sounds like politics. It's like minority rules, right?
1 + 1 = fish.
And so it turns out that the cards that the questions are reading off of, it turns out that they were saying, if the coin goes this, it cuts your debt in half. If it goes to this, then the game will be over.
So if they give the wrong answer, then they can lower their own debt.
So then I thought to myself, okay, when the one guy with the glasses pointed at his name tag, he pointed at his name tag because they weren't supposed to talk unless they were reading a question. And I thought, oh, you know what? They're all going to agree with each other to go, hey, let's all make it the wrong answer on purpose and one person to the minority so we can each cut our debt.
Yeah, it's like prisoner's dilemma. Yeah.
But then Yuichi figured out right away that the last card didn't have that stipulation. So it was just like, anyway, I don't want to explain too much, but like, that's just like the interesting kind of twisty part about each game and how they have to deal with each game. It's not as simple as just, okay, play this and then you win. They're throwing things in there to make each other like fuck each other up. And that's why I like it. So anyway, sorry, I kind of rambled too much, but you know what I mean? That's what's going to keep it interesting for me. Not really the death game aspect itself or the trope itself, but like the intricacies of each game and getting them fucked up is what's going to keep me watching it. Yeah, I think.
Dude, you got to watch Kaiji already, Sam. Come on.
Okay, I'll watch Kaiji.
Maybe we'll do a review on it.
We should all watch it.
I put Kaiji on hold. I started watching
that is
it.
That's an all-timer. Anyway, we got to move
on. Playing on the podcast.
Yeah, let's move on. Sorry, I rambled.
Kaku no Inazuki. Also known as a couple of cuckoos.
This is 24 episodes. Studio Synergy SP and Shin Eye Animation.
Let me just say, this has the worst title of any show this season.
Couple of cuckoos?
Yeah.
Best title of the season is Your Boy worst. Kong Ming. That's the best.
Yeah, that's a pretty good title. Yeah, yeah. That's a good one.
This is in Shonen Magazine Weekly by Miki Yoshikawa. But basically, what happens is this dude named Nagi was switched at birth. And so his parents tell him, hey, you were switched at birth. We're going to go meet your biological parents and their baby that we switched with today at dinner. Oh, okay, shit. And then on the way, like, after school, some shit happens, and Nagi meets a girl named Erica. And Erica's like, hey, can you... be my fake boyfriend for this thing because like I have to go to this thing later and my parents want me to like arrange, they want me to do this arranged marriage thing. And if I tell them you're my boyfriend, then it'll be fine. Right. So they take fake pictures throughout the day and then they're like, oh shit, I'm late for dinner. I got to go. Okay. I'll see you later. Okay. Okay, cool. And they later go to that dinner and it turns out that it's each other that were switched at birth.
Oh, what a coincidence.
And that's the marriage that he was going to arrange. Yeah. But then it's also fucked up, right? Because it turns out that the girl who was Nagi's sister is like, oh, it turns out that he's not actually my brother because she likes him. Gross.
Nice.
And then the other girl, there's another girl at school who Nagi also likes on his own. So it turns into like a romance square.
Oh, it's like it's a square quadrangle.
Okay. Quadrangle. First of all, like, okay.
It's the trash.
The premise of this show.
It's really dumb premise.
That's dumb. Like, why would you switch your children at birth?
Did they
switch
a boy and a girl,
too? That's a real thing that happens.
That's true. Never trust the doctors.
That's a real thing that happens. Never. Yeah.
I mean, I can understand maybe accidentally, but...
Yeah, it was an accident. It wasn't on purpose.
Did they switch the boy and the girl? Because how do you fuck that up?
Because they probably gave birth, like, I don't know.
Yeah, but it's
they
a boy
really
and it's a girl.
It. One has a pee-pee and one doesn't.
Yeah. Don't they put them in, like, blue and pink just so you fucking know? Like, I don't know. Maybe not.
Okay, so it doesn't fucking matter. Like, it happened, okay? Like, they got switched. I don't know how, okay? You guys are coming at me like I fucking know. I don't fucking know.
You have to know everything.
Yeah. Maybe he just has. Maybe he has a very small pee-pee.
I'm not even defending the show. Like I just fucking like.
He's got a
micro. I'm just telling you what happened.
We're just being silly, Sam.
Okay. Anyway.
And babies
I don't
deserve
know how
rights.
It happened. I don't know how it happened. It just fucking happened. But like, yeah, it wasn't even that funny. It was kind of a weird way to set up a harem. Or not harem, but like
it basically is a harem.
Romance,
yeah, right?
Triangle, whatever bullcrap.
That's the theme of this is harem.
Yeah, like it's not even that funny. Like, and now the one girl, Erica, does start to like him or something. I don't know.
Yeah, this is just a generic harem, honestly. Like, it is a dumb premise, but it's just the best harems have like weird sci-fi shit happening, like weird like supernatural stuff, like Monogatari. You know, you need something like that.
Okay.
The silence.
You guys are like, I haven't seen it.
I think you just meme the toothbrush thing too much. You know, it's just, come on, dude. Like,
no, it's just like, it's crazy supernatural shit happening. And all the characters
like
are really smart.
Your idea of romance is the toothbrush scene.
No, that's the only thing you know.
But like, yeah, no, it's, exactly what Nick and Danny said. It's whatever. That the only unique thing about it is like the switched at birth thing, and then it turns out that they met each other beforehand, and then some shit happens. And like it gets to a part too where like her dad, or really Nagi's biological parents, buys them a condominium to live with each other for like a month or something. Oh, and he's yeah, if you guys are going to get married, you guys got to get along, so just chill here for, you know, a month or something. And because they're like really rich or whatever. But like, and then, you know, accidental walking on you while you're in the bathroom, comedy trope, whatever. Dumb stuff.
Accidental on purpose. If you want to watch a good harem, watch Nisekoi, okay? That's a better one.
Nisekoi is, it's not even comparable. It's like way, way better. That's like... Nisekoi is really good, yeah.
And Love Hina.
And the animation in Love Hina and Nisekoi is also way better. The animation in this is, like, a little bit below average. It's, you know, it's...
This show has a higher score than half the shows on the season, too. Couple of cuckoos.
Which is weird, yeah, I don't know. Maybe
I don't understand why it's called a couple of cuckoos, but there's a harem. Wouldn't it be more than two?
Couple of cuckoos? Cuckoos?
Is it pronounced cuckoo or cuckoo?
One flew over the cuckoo's nest. That's what I kind of imagined, because they're like the key visual is like they're like in a bird's nest. Anyway, it's not that good. There's better funny romances out there, I think. So, I don't really like. Okay, here's the thing. Here's the main thing. You don't fucking care. I don't fucking care who the guy ends up with. The characters aren't that super likable to me. They're not doing a good job of building anyone. So the only characters I like are the parents, because they're hilarious.
Yeah, the parents are pretty funny. Yeah,
and those are the wrong people who are supposed to be likable. So,
Let's move on. They shouldn't even exist because it's anime. Who are we kidding?
Right. Love After World Domination. Koi wa sekai seifuku no atode. This is the only romance that you need to care about. This
Power
season,
Ranger romance.
Power Ranger romance. This is based on a mango chutney. That appears in Shonen Magazine Monthly, art by Takahiro Wakamatsu and story by Noda Hiroshi. This is legit. This is hilarious. It is the Red Ranger of the Gelato Squad, the Gelato 5. There's a red, green, blue, yellow, pink, and red.
What flavor is he?
He's
strawberry.
Strawberry, yeah.
Aren't strawberries pink? They're kind of red, I guess.
They're kind of red, yeah.
Yeah.
Strawberries are pink. But, like, anyway, he falls in love with the leader of the Gecko Society, the Gecko evil organization, and they start dating. And it's funny because, like, they'll get in a battle, right? And then all the Gelato Rangers fight with all the henchmen, and then him and her go off, and they're like, let's battle over here. And then literally they're, like, having a date. And it's like, oh, you know, whatever. And then so, like, when one of the other, like, rangers or henchmen or, like, the newscopter comes over, they immediately improvise and go right back to fighting. And it's really funny. And it's like they have to keep it a secret from everyone, obviously, because it's like, oh, shit, the leader of the heroes and the leader of the villains are, you know, Romeo and Juliet, whatever, some bullshit. Forbidden Love. But it's really hilarious because it's, you know, Power Rangers and Rita Repulsa. It's like, you know, really fucking funny. And the way they do it is just hilarious. Like, it's just... And at the same time, they're trying to figure out, like, they're at the beginning steps of their relationship, right? So they haven't, like, really kissed or anything like that. And...
Oh, that's going to be, like, a whole event.
Yeah.
Just like the whole event of them trying to hold hands.
Yeah. And then by episode, like... By, like, episode 2 and 3, they're able to, like, just hold hands and be fine. But, like, there was a part where, like, she was, like, they were trying to hide behind, like, some container things, you know, from, like, that come on boats, you know?
Yeah.
And
shipment, like a shipment dock.
Yeah. And they had to, like, you know, fake it or whatever. And then when the news reporter left... she was, like, all upset, and he's like, oh, I'm sorry, like, don't be upset, and she's like, can you just, like, take me on a real date, like, I want to go on a real date, and it was really cute, and it was like, aw, like...
Yeah, and then he had no idea, like, what a real date was, and
yeah.
They, like, freaking went to the gym, and had like power protein bars and stuff, and like the yellow gelato ranger like called up Fudo because she was drunk, and because Fudo asked Misaki like, what do you do on a real date and stuff? And
yeah, he did all the wrong stuff.
He did all the wrong stuff, and like Misaki called him up and was all like, yeah, remember that like whole first date advice that I gave you? Yeah, that was all wrong.
Yeah.
So,
which was fine, because then like she loved it anyway. But beside that, it was just like, I really like everything else about it though as well. And like, the studio is Project Number 9, and I haven't looked at the staff, but, like, some of the art can get a little janky. There's a couple times where, like...
Yeah, it's not the best animated show, to be honest.
Actually, it's animated pretty decently. I'm talking about, certain frames, like, there'll be where a character stops, and, like, the eye is, like, janked a little bit.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm talking about, like, the art on the cell. The animation is actually really
okay. Whatever.
Decent.
I'm saying all of it.
Okay. Yeah. Nick doesn't know what he's talking about. So like, the animation, like they actually animate like whole ass fight scenes and choreograph fights, which is really cool. And it's actually pretty decent too. It's not really super choppy or anything like that. And also the character design is really cool. I think the Gelato 5 actually looks like, you know, they actually look like a legit, you know, like it actually looks
squad.
Like an actual Sentai squad. Yeah. It doesn't look like some fake anime thing, which this is a fake anime thing, but like it doesn't look that way. And also Culverin Bear, the
This is why it's your anime of the season right here.
The number two henchman, Culverin Bear with the big guns. I think the comedy in it is pretty funny, you know, trying to hide the romance and stuff. Anyway, sorry. I'm going to ramble on too much because I love tokusatsu stuff. I love bears. And I think the romance is really cute. So you guys, go ahead. Go off before I talk anymore.
You said it all. I think we got to get moving here.
Yeah. You pretty much said
I'm
gonna
it. I'm going to keep watching this one.
I'm
going to
keep watching this because I really like it. I love, I mean, it's romance, so I'm totally going to watch it. So.
And it has a dub. And the girl sounds a little weird in the dub, not going to lie.
I don't know. I like the dub. I think it works pretty well.
It works well enough. It's good enough.
Okay. Sorry, everyone. Okay. God damn it. Culverin Bear, 10 out of 10 show. Don't even need to watch. Okay, here we go. Wait a second. Oh, okay. The Executioner and Her Way of Life. Showcase Shoujo, No Virgin Road. I don't know why.
How does that translate?
I don't know why that's such a different title than
you. Yeah.
This is based on a light novel. By Sato and Mato.
For everybody who hates isekais, this is your show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
she kills the isekai protagonists. That's what she does.
Yeah. Maybe I should watch it then. It's about this girl named Meno, and she is a high priestess for the Lord Faust. And the
what a name, Faust.
Yeah, the kingdom or like the royal government or whatever. They keep summoning people from other worlds to come over and do shit. And the Fausts believe, like, that's going to make the world a worse place. So she kills them as they come through. But, she comes across one chick who came over from Japan. And she's got this pretty crazy power.
Hermit Purple.
She has a pure concept, which is time. She has the pure concept of time.
She has the reading Steiner.
And so she kind of heals people by turning back time. And so she can't really kill her because when she tries to assassinate her, the pure concept just reminds her being killed and she's fine. So then she has to take a 3-day trip to the church to like get rid of her in some other way. And so she's kind of growing to like her a little bit, and it's crazy. But yeah, what do you guys think? So Danny didn't watch
it? Yeah, Danny, what do you think?
I know. I didn't watch this one.
Oh, man.
So, but maybe I should.
It does pull a fast one on you.
Since it makes fun of isekais.
It doesn't really make fun of it. It's kind of a serious show.
No, it's a super, yeah.
But It would have been interesting to watch it if you had no idea what it was going in, because episode one, you think that the guy is the main character because it's like in his head a lot, and it turns out she just fucking murks him at the end. Spoilers. We're a little past spoiler point at this. We're doing this late in the season, so it's okay. But I'm interested to see where it goes. Let's see. I watched this one at 2x speed, not going to lie. This has a lower score, 6.8 on Mal, so I'm curious why it's a lot lower than some of these other shows.
Yeah, but like Nick said, it is adapted from a light novel. So right, like it has those light novel vibes, you know. A lot of light novels nowadays are like fantasy isekai things. And it pulls a sneaky on you. Like, you legit think it's about this dude at first who gets isekai'd over, and he's like, "Oh yeah, sweet, I got reinvented into the world, trying to discover my power." And then Minot comes and is like, "Okay, you think she's gonna be like the side, you know, sidekick chick that meets him there or whatever, right? Like Aqua." Nope. Snicky.
She's the main dish.
She's the main beezy, and the point, her job is to literally murk these people coming through, so they don't disrupt the world. And
yeah,
because
they're like too powerful. Like, they would end up fucking up the balance of everything if they could grow stronger. So that's kind of the deal.
Yeah.
Oh, I like her sidekick, actually. I like the chick's sidekick.
Momo.
They communicate, is it like telepathically or something?
And ether. Yeah, it's like a telepathic power.
The ether, yep. And so that's pretty cool. Like, they have different like strategies and abilities that they use to depending on the target. So
yeah. The way they use spells is pretty cool, yeah.
I don't know why it's a lower score than these other shows. It's not like I don't think it's worse than these other like generic shows.
No, seriously.
It might not be a lot better, but it's not like worse. So
I just noticed that when you said it, I was like, yeah, what the hell? I personally think it's really interesting, and I'm kind of curious as to like to see what happens, because like obviously Minot is starting to kind of garner some like not feelings, but like, you know, as she learns more about Akari, the girl that she's supposed to take to get executed because she can't kill her. Is like they're starting to kind of spend more time with each other, and now some shit's happening. And then you got this other big bad bitch named Ashna, who's like the princess of like the kingdom, and she's actually like this really badass like swordsman and spell user. And oh shit! And the animation's not bad. JC staff.
For the One Punch Man debacle, but they do okay work sometimes.
I think they do pretty okay. I think. Some of the staff who worked on OPM, One Punch Man and Don Machi are working on this one. I think I have to check. I didn't check, but they did a really good job of emulating that light novel style into the characters. You can definitely tell this. I mean, you know, right away because of the story, but like you can definitely get that vibe when watching it as well. I do like Momo's design a lot. I am with Nick on that one. I love Momo. She's super cool. She's also a badass who uses like this chain, this razor chain thing as her main weapon, which is super badass. And she just fucking like tortures people. It's badass.
That's what I'm saying.
Everything about it is badass. Yeah, I think it's sick. But yeah, I think you should give it a watch. Give it the 3-up rule. This is why we give it the 3-up rule exactly, because the first episode kind of, you know, it gets you a little bit, so you kind of got to watch more of it to understand, like, you know, what's going on.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
We got to move on, Sam.
I mean, I only took, like, 3 minutes, so I don't even know.
That was 20 minutes, Sam.
It wasn't. People hate it when you do that. Just so
I know. I'm just kidding. Okay, let's move on. So what do we got here? Did you guys watch any of the Aoashi, anybody? Danny, maybe?
I watched Aoashi. That is the soccer one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I did watch that one. It's really good. Production IG, Production IG also does Haikyuu. This show has a Haikyuu-esque feeling, but it's a little different. I only watched 3 episodes, so in the first 3 episodes, the main character, Ashido, he is kind of like this soccer prodigy, and the manager of the young youth group in Tokyo, like the young youth youth group soccer team. He like watched his game and said, "Hey, you're really good. You're really good with your footwork. Here's an application for the Tokyo tryouts. You should come." So, and pretty much if he makes it through the tryouts, he'll be able to play on the youth team. So, and he doesn't, if he makes it, he won't have to, he'll be going to school, but he won't have to like join his, you know, regular high school soccer team and stuff like that. Apparently this youth team is one of the best. Whoever goes through the youth team will also be able to play in like the big leagues in soccer. So it's like a really big deal. So yeah, I like it. I know Zayla likes it, even though they're not too big on sports shows, but they're slowly starting to admit that they like sports, the sports genre. So, yeah.
I don't know what
is it
Ashi...
like. Was it Blue Lock?
Okay, that's what I was. That's what I was about to say, because I don't know what Ashi means, but Owl means blue, and it's a soccer show. So I'm just like,
oh, that's pretty funny.
It's not, yeah. It's so it's not like Blue Lock.
Okay, they don't like, go into like a crazy training fortress or whatever.
No, I think this is a little more realistic than Blue Lock.
Yeah, this is definitely more realistic. I mean, they are kind of going through tryouts and stuff, kind of like what Blue Lock does, but Blue Lock is definitely way over exaggerated. And Blue Lock is more focused on Japan's national team versus like this youth team. So, and like I said, like Blue Lock is completely over exaggerated, and that Blue Lock kind of also has that like gamble game esque kind of feeling, like kind of like Tamagotchi and Kaiji kind of thing. So, although Blue Lock is like, I love reading Blue Lock, so, and I'm very excited for when the anime comes out. So, but yeah. I think this is worth watching if you're really into like the whole sports thing. It's definitely one of the best sports shows that are out this season. There's another sports show that's out, Love All Play. I haven't really watched that, but the reviews that I've read, they aren't really that great. So this is definitely one of the best. One of the best sports shows that are out there. Yeah.
All right. So. I watch real sports that aren't rigged like anime.
Oh,
so.
My God. Shut up.
I'm just kidding. okay. Actually, we got another Danny show here. We got Dance Dance Dancer or Dancer.
Yeah. I'm also watching this one too, and I love it. I love it. I'm so biased because I'm a dancer, and this is about dancing, and I love it. I love it, love it, love it, love it.
So what do you think about this one?
I love it.
Studio MAPPA? Oh, MAPPA does it?
Is it like Welcome
Studio
to the
MAPPA.
Ballroom? That's the only dancing show I know.
Well, so Welcome to the Ballroom is about ballroom dancing, where this one centers around ballet. So, and it pretty much centers around a kid named Junpei who... He went to a dance recital that his little sister was in, and all of a sudden, one of the numbers was centered around a male ballet dancer, and he kind of, like, got, like, these sparkling, like, butterflies. Like, he got excited watching it and stuff, and it got him, like, interested in wanting to try it and stuff. So... but also his dad is a professional stuntman. So he was kind of like in a conflict whether like he wanted to pursue dancing over following his dad's footsteps and being a stunt performer. So and then, you know, he tried the ballet for a little bit, but then he kind of got made fun of it like, he also kind of, when he was a kid, he had like longer hair, so he kind of looked like a girl a little bit. And also some of the kids made fun of him. He's all like, oh, you dance? Like, isn't that for girls? And this and that and the third. And then he kind of grew up just learning kind of like karate and trying to do the whole stunt performance stuff like his father. So, but then after a while, he met, I forget her name. I'm not even on the page for it. Miyoko, because Miyoko's a dancer, and she was all like, hey, you're really flexible. Like, you should dance like at the studio that my mom owns and stuff. So it's really good. I love the animation in it. It definitely shows how the choreography for ballet is and everything. It's very accurate, to my knowledge at least. So, at least so far. And it definitely, I really enjoy just seeing the male perspective of trying to be a dancer and stuff like that. And the way Junpei was kind of portraying and secretly wanting to dance and learn how to dance better was definitely a good like character development in the first like three episodes and stuff. So a lot of people that I've noticed critiquing on this show are the eyes. A lot of people don't like the eyes, but I love the eyes. Yeah. So
seems very the art style, I mean, like with the eyes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Very shoujo looking. Like, yeah, all that, yeah, kind of Tokyo Pop, yeah, era shoujo looking.
Yeah.
I think I'd like it, but
okay. I like I said, I love it. I'm biased for it because of the whole dancing aspect. So
sure.
I'm not gonna say anymore because I've talked too much about it.
It's got a higher score than a lot of other stuff, but yeah, that could be good. Let us know how it is. Okay, and then I also watched In the Heart of Kunoichi Tsubaki.
I watched a little bit of this, but I couldn't get past episode one.
I don't blame you.
So it's basically like it's marketed as a shonen. Studio Cloverworks.
It's a comedy
based on a mango chutney. Yeah, it's a comedy or a shonen or whatever. It's in Gassan Magazine by Shoichiro Yamamoto. It's this isolated ninja camp or ninja clan, and it's all girls, and each clan has a team, like kind of like Naruto, there's a team of three. And they're teaching, there's this teacher, I forgot her name, the main teacher's name, but she's teaching all the girls, you know, ninjutsu. And she's teaching them that men are dangerous and scary, and if you ever see a man, don't try and fight him, run away. They're dangerous people.
They're and brutes.
They're the main character, Tsubaki's like, yeah, but like, you know.
But I feel funny when I see them.
I feel funny when I see them. Because Tsubaki, I think, they don't say the age of the girls, but like, so each team has a leader, and
they're
the leader's
cherubic.
Yeah, each leader is older than the other two. I think Tsubaki is like 12 or 13. Like she's starting to get those feelings for, you know, whatever. And her two teammates are like, you know, they're kind of rambunctious and ridiculous. One wants to eat all the time. The other one is very schemey, very like wants to do things on her own, not be treated like a kid, even though she acts like a kid all the time. And Tsubaki is like, oh man, like, why do I keep thinking about men, and are men really that scary? And all of a sudden she starts getting like funny boy crazy feelings. And then, spoiler alert, in episode 3, it turns out that that's a lie. And they are just lying to the girls about men being scary.
Well,
and whatever.
I figured that out in episode 1.
Yeah, like, you know, whatever. So, and all this in the setting of all of this hooliganism is in a ninjutsu training clan school thing, which is really cool. It's just a bunch of girls doing ninja shit. And then, you know, this whole kind of overarching story about like, oh, men. Oh. And I think it's really funny. It's really refreshing to see another ninja anime out here that isn't solely focused on just, you know, being a ninja or whatever. There's this whole other like kind of girly comedy aspect to it. And I think it's really cute. And the fight scenes that do happen in it are pretty sweet. You know, you get the fire-breathing jutsu shit happening and throwing ninja stars, throwing and just basic ninja lore shit that you see in, like, you know, fictional fantasy ninja stuff. You know what I mean? Transformations, cloning, things like that. Really cool. I think it's really cute. Do I think it's, like, super amazing? I don't really know yet. I think there's going to be more to it as, you know, we go along. The first three episodes, you know, the reveal didn't happen until, like, the third episode. I do really like the teacher's assistant. I forget her name, but she's... I just really like her design. I don't know why. She's got, like, these yellow eyes, and she's kind of deadpan, kind of. Konoha-sensei is what her name. But, yeah. I also like... Ohana is the teacher. I do like Benny Sumomo, who's, like... She's working really hard to be, like, this really strong ninja, and she really is really strong, but she wants to give, like, the attitude to everyone else that she just is, like, inherently talented when really she's not. She actually works really hard to, like, become that way. Anyway, I think it's really funny. Give it a watch. It could be... I'm thinking it's going to get better. It's getting a little better each time.
Yeah, I only got the first couple eps, unfortunately.
I mean, I think... I don't know if Nick will enjoy it particularly. You know, Nick might think it's boring. And that's not a slam on him. I think that's just the show. Because it is kind of slow at some points. It is also one of those shows, too, where they kind of divide little stories up here and there. Like, there's, like, a little... You know what I mean? Kind of slice of lifey in that sense where it's, like, this part of the episode is about this. And then the next part. And then there's little titles at the bottom, you know, when it happens. But, yeah, anyway. I like it so far. We'll see. And then, did anyone else watch Healer Girl?
Ooh, I did. I did.
I didn't.
This was interesting.
This one's sweet.
It's like, you either really like it or you really hate it. It's
yeah,
a, it's a musical anime. It's the only genre is music. That's it. It's an original anime.
Yeah.
This is by Studio 3 Hertz, 3HZ.
3 Hertz?
Pretty sure HZ is Hertz, right?
Yeah, yeah, Hertz. That's what I always thought it was. I don't know.
This is, who's it written and directed by? Directed by Yasuhiro Irie, and script is by Noboru Kimura. And since it's an original, that matters a lot more. So with Healer Girl, they are basically like songstresses that heal with their music. And they're in, it's a bunch of girls that are in like this school and they're training to be, to use the vocal medicine. And they can use that to treat like injuries and health conditions and all that other stuff. And they use the power of their voices. It's kind of like, it's not like Symphogear, but they use singing as like their form of fighting or superpower, pretty much.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've only seen
Gear,
the first.
They're doing that like why they're fighting, and then for here they're like doing it while they're The song is supposed to heal. Yeah.
The song itself, it the animation changes and like brings them into this like other world where they're like, you know, the person getting healed is
they call it an image.
That. Yeah.
Kind of like a domain expansion in Jujutsu Kaisen, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a good example. That's a good comparison.
Side note, Nick's domain expansion would just be a bunch of buckets, and...
Unlimited bucket works.
You can't see your opponent, which is Nick, because buckets will just keep going on your head and blinding you. Get fucked.
Oh, dude.
Oh. GG, stay free. Okay, go ahead.
I mean, yeah. I don't have a lot to say about it. They put a lot of effort into the songs on this show. The actresses can all sing pretty well, which I guess is true of a lot of Japanese voice actors. Like a lot of them are pretty good singers.
Yeah.
This is an interesting one. I haven't watched a straight musical anime in quite a while.
Yeah. I really liked it too. And the animation's really nice. You know, that we're getting a lot more shows recently nowadays where,
the animation's great in this show.
Where characters are constantly moving, constantly acting. They're not just static with their mouths moving. You know what I mean?
I wonder if it's because of the pandemic they had more time to work on stuff, but I don't know if that's true. So, or maybe the technology, I mean, and like the just like the workflow is getting a little bit more efficient somehow.
Getting a bit easier, you know.
I
know
I'm
a lot more animators.
Wild speculation, but
a lot more animators are speaking out. That could be a part of it too, you know.
Yeah,
but
I mean, hopefully, you know.
I really like there was a cut in the second episode where they were trying to ease the pain of a pregnant lady.
And, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they went into the domain, and when the domain starts fucking up or stops working, the domain
reacts.
Oh,
yeah, they're like falling from like the crumbling hilltop thing. Yeah, that was
the
cool.
The image or domain starts reacting negatively, and so like the floor was crumbling beneath them and shit. That was crazy.
Teacher comes in and she like the second she starts singing, like the world just like explodes in color and stuff.
And explodes into a green field. It was so cool.
Fucking turns into the Windows screensaver.
I was like, dude, perfect. Windows screensaver. I really like what I like the most is the design of the three main girls. Fuji, Kanafuji, Raimi.
Raimi is my
and
favorite.
Hibiki. Yeah, Raimi is she's super cute.
When they're at the sports fest and they're like racing each other and they're singing as they're running, it's like so like extra.
I like how Raimi is like obsessed with their teacher or Dr. Rhea. She's like in love with her and it's really funny. And
this reminds me of Aria a little bit. There's a lot of similar dynamics.
It?
Yeah, a little bit.
They go to wake her up and Rhea thinks that it's the kitty that's waking her up, so she like goes to grab and hug her, but it's actually Raimi. And then Raimi's like head is kind of on her chest and she's like, oh. It's really funny. But yeah, like other than that, the concept is really nice. The animation is really nice. The art is really nice.
6.93 on Mal. This is, I mean, I get it, I guess. It's kind of out there, the concept. It's not something you normally see. Now I want to see the reviews on Mal. Like, what is the deal here? What's going on?
Yeah, true.
All the reviews, the top, like, five reviews are 9 out of 10.
I mean, I really like it. I mean, maybe it's because it is a musical show that turns people off, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
They recommend Nanan Biori, Healing Good Precure.
Yeah, but with I think Aria should be on that list too. But with this type of show, it's an original, so this is really gonna depend heavily on like how they manage to utilize their resources like when they're creating it, because
the rest of it.
And, it could definitely just like crash and burn. Hopefully not, but I could see this one getting like a delay randomly because it's like they gotta fucking make shit up like. That's hard. So,
right.
I mean, hopefully it goes smoothly. That'd be nice, but we'll see.
Right. Yeah, I like that one. I'm gonna keep watching that one. And then, did anyone watch anything else? I watched one more thing after this, and that's about it.
I was gonna watch Bubble and Vampire in the Garden, but
are those movies?
Forgot. No, they're ONAs on Netflix.
I thought Bubble was a movie.
Bubble is a movie, I'm pretty sure.
Is it? No.
Yes.
I think it's also an ONA, but it's also a movie.
It's an... Oh, it's one... I mean, it's 100 minutes, but...
It's a 100-minute episode. There you go, Danny.
They put it as an ONA, not a movie.
Oh, Vampire in the Garden is like a mini... It's a mini
series.
Vampire
in the Garden, I think, is like 5 eps.
Yeah.
Yeah. Production on it is supposed to be really nice. The Bubble is by Wit Studio, and it's...
I mean, Vampire in the Garden is also by Wit Studio, too.
Oh, is it? Okay, yeah. I didn't realize.
Yeah, they had to put Attack on Titan on hold so they could do these things.
But yeah, Tetsuro Araki is the director
for
Bubble.
Oh, shit!
Yeah.
I'm watching that. That guy's crazy.
He crazy. Yeah, he's...
Oh, he's like... I noticed that there's like certain directors who just work with the same studios a lot. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
But it's like... Yeah, Tetsuro Araki and, you know, Kyoei Anime... Animation,
yeah, and Kyoji Asano is chief animation director, he's the director for Attack on Titan, Psycho Pass, Spy Family. So,
no, that's I thought that was Araki, isn't it? No, he did Death Note.
No, I said chief animation director.
Oh, my bad.
I
misheard that.
Yeah.
Okay,
sorry.
And I didn't mean that he did not do Kyoto Animation. I was just saying that.
Oh, yeah.
Kyoto Animation has a lot of the same directors.
You mean Wit Studio?
No, a lot of studios have that. Where it's like you'll see a studio, they'll do a show, and they'll have like one of like three directors who does it.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I was just saying Kyoji Asano is director, chief animation director.
I was comparing him to that. So,
I know he doesn't
work on their stuff, but yeah.
Oh, gotcha. Sorry. But yeah, and then Gennaro Bucci does the script for Bubble too.
Ooh!
So, yeah. Pretty cool staff.
The Butcher, but it has a 7.37 on MAL, so it has a lukewarm reception.
The Butcher.
We haven't seen it, so maybe we'll talk about it if we watch it.
But yeah, I also wanted to watch the other one Danny mentioned too, Vampire in the Pacho.
Also lukewarm, 7.2. Netflix does a lot of these things. Ooh, Spriggan's coming out.
Yeah, Spriggan.
That's
I'm excited
not till later
for.
Though. That's like more of a summer.
I thought it was gonna be a fully CG thing, but it's not. Tiger and Bunny 2.
Bastard.
So the other one I did watch was the Black Rock Shooter Dawnfall. And I was a little disappointed. I mean, I like it because it's Black Rock Shooter. I love Black Rock Shooter. But I thought it was going to be like another, like, actually more fuller adaptation of the original story, which was about a high school girl named Matoy. And then, like, yeah, it's not that at all. It's actually, like, about the world of Black Rock Shooter, which is, like, in this dystopian future, Terminator style, robots are taking over. Human hunting, that kind of shit. So, yeah, I don't know. I will watch more of it and give you more details on that later. Because I only watched one episode of it. But, yeah. What about you, Nick? Is that all you watched, too? Anything else? Or?
Yep, that was it. That's all I got.
Okay.
I just realized there's a Takagi-san movie coming out.
Yeah, I wonder if that's like going to be like the end of everything or what. I don't know what that is.
The end of Takagi-Gellion.
I'll tell you what. My favorite OP for this batch was actually Summertime Render. I really like that OP. That was cool.
Yeah, that was a cool one. I might say Tomodachi Game for me. I don't know.
Oh, that was good. Yeah.
I'm just going to say that blindly. I actually haven't combed through the list thoroughly.
Oh,
but
okay. EDs, I didn't really watch any of them. I was kind of on a roll.
Yeah, I was speeding through a lot.
I actually like Kunoichi Sobaki opening too. I think that's really cute. I like the way that is. It's the song is really upbeat and just shows all the girls. It's the perfect, like, you know, rounded opening. Shows all the girls doing their thing and being ninjas.
Oh, you know what I actually like? Well, Healer Girl had really good music, but Aharon-san.
Oh, yeah, Healer Girl, yeah.
I can't pronounce this girl's name. Aharon.
Aharon-san.
That OP is actually pretty good.
That OP is really good.
She whispers
actually,
at the end, it's like, oh.
Yeah, that is like the perfect, reminds me of the first opening of Komi-san and the opening of My Senpai's Annoying, which is oddly
I like OPs where they
does,
whisper,
but.
Or EDs, where there's like a whisper at the end or the beginning or something. It like punctuates it.
Mm-hmm. And the animation was really nice too in that OP as well. And the song. It's like,
I'm going with that one, actually. That's my OP right now.
Okay.
Let's go.
Yeah, perfect. Good.
What
good
about
answer,
Danny?
Good
Danny,
answer.
We're talking over you.
Yeah.
Anyways, my favorite EDs. No, just kidding.
Wow. Fuck you.
Sorry, bitch. Go ahead.
So, I mean,
slut?
I'm just going to not talk anymore.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So this one was kind of hard because I like Dance Dancier OP.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it has that kind of you're looking at through Junpei's eyes, kind of. I just like that. Also, the song is great. Thus the OP for Love After World Domination is great. I mean, nothing spectacular happens in the OP. It's kind of like your typical, you know, introducing you to the characters and stuff like that. So, but I just love the song. A Kawaii Explosion is great. I love it. I listen to it all the time. I have it on Spotify. Edie, I'm going to pick Dance Dance Dancier, which is Kizehana. It's just really cute, and it has it kind of uses like stopping motion a little bit, kind of. It has like they kind of pan in kind of like ripped magazine sequences and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, again, nothing spectacular happens in it. I just like it. I love the song. So,
yeah, I'm watching the ED right now. It's a, it almost looks like a...
It's like a collage, really.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It almost looks like you're watching an animated collage or like a... Yeah, that's exactly what this is. It's like stop motion collage.
Yeah.
And then with animation on top, with like slight animation on top of it, which is really
cool.
Yeah,
yeah. So...
Very creative. I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yee!
Okay, well, shit. I'm gonna go make my watch list now. I was hoping to have a light spring load, but I guess not. I guess I'll take the whole load up my ass. Yes, that was a come in my butt joke. You're welcome.
Large loads.
I will take the whole load in my ass. Or as Nick likes to sing every once in a while, put it in my ass, just put it in my ass.
That was a while ago, yeah. Yeah. It's catchy.
No, dude, it would be like, we would like be like, okay, I'd be like 3, 2, 1, and then Nick would just randomly be like, put it in my ass, just put it in my ass.
I'm straight.
Anyway. Yeah, yeah, Nick is, yeah.
Probably the straightest person ever.
Let us know what you're watching. Let us know if we missed anything. And we can cover it for you. Again, we're going to cover some of the sequel shows in a couple weeks. So,
Oh, do we want to say what we're doing next week? Yeah?
Next week is another Smackdown. So get hyped for that. Some of you patrons already know what kind of Smackdown it is. Actually, some of you in just in the, you know, the Discord in general might know what kind of Smackdown it is. Because we've been talking about it for a long time now. But, you know... just a little hint for you. Me, Nick, and Danny will be, you know, doing a little transformation before we start the SmackDown, if you know what I mean. Yee. That being said, hope you guys are excited for that.
Summit Prism Power!
And, yeah, dude, it's gonna be legit. But yeah, let us know if we missed anything and you want us to cover it later on. We'll definitely do that. Let us know what you're watching as well in the comments or on Discord, wherever, on Twitter. That being said, I love you guys very much. Thanks for your support every week. And I've been Sam. That's been Nick. That's been Danny. And we've been the Anime Summit Somcast.
Somcast?
Did I really just fucking say that?
I thought you did that on purpose.
No, my brain is actually fucked up today. This has been the Anime Summit Danny Cast. There.
Oh, okay.
Danny Cast?
That's fine.
Well...
I'm not.
Nick's like, okay, I get it.
You guys talk more than me today. That's fair.
No. This has been the Anime Summit podcast. God.